Nine Podcasts.
I'm Elise.
And I'm Tom. As Oscar Wilde once said,
ultimately the bond of all companionship, whether in marriage or in friendship, is conversation.
Welcome to our husband-wife podcast, The Elliot Exchange. What could possibly go wrong?
Find out with us by tapping the follow or subscribe button on The Elliot Exchange, wherever you get your podcast.
Hi there, Tom. Welcome back.
Hello, Elise. Happy New Year.
Season 3 of The Elliot Exchange. That augurs well.
Well, I think every day you haven't been sacked from your job is a good day.
I meant for you and me.
Yes.
Right?
Oh, absolutely it does.
Right. Now, we always start with notes of love. Tom, what is your note of love from the past few weeks?
Well, it relates to a soiree we went to last Friday night. It was a friend's 50th. And I rang the husband of the friend, and just to avoid any misunderstanding, they're a heterosexual couple. And I said, what's the dress code? He says, just wear whatever you want. We don't care. It's just a party. It's a drinks party. Wear what you want. So I asked you, what should I wear? And I expected that you would want me in some sort of beige chinos with boat shoes and a chambray shirt and a lemon yellow jumper knotted around my shoulders.
Cashmere, no less.
Yeah. And you said, wear a Hawaiian shirt. Mm. And so I turned up to a friend's 50th wearing runners, a pair of shorts, and a Hawaiian shirt, and I think I was the look of the party.
And I think that means I've accepted your idiosyncrasies.
That's what it means.
Because
quite often in the past, you would go to fairly conservative shops like Country Road or Roger David Menswear and send me –
High and mighty.
High and mighty. send me photos of, you know, racks of chinos and neutral jumpers and things, and just quietly suggest, oh, these look nice. You know, I could pick one up. What size are you? And I'm like, no, yeah. I won't wear it. And now you've finally accepted me for who I am.
I figure, Tom, men are like radio stations. Like, you can get rid of a bit of static around the edges, but you can't change the frequency, nor should you want to.
No, that's right. Now, what about you, Elise? What's your note of love?
My note of love has to do with a shopping list. So my father is, surprise, surprise, curiously very like you in many ways, a little Freudian there. And he's not very effusive on the texting front. And I said, Dad, could I get you some shopping? And he gave me this very perfunctory shopping list. No sort of niceties on either end. Milk, 2 times 1 litre. Sliced bread, seeded. Sort of, you know, the adjective afterwards. Cordial, lemon, straw dot, berries, tub ice cream. But you read that perfectly and you went and did that shopping list for me. And I think Dad spoke your language. And it sort of was surprising on many fronts, but the fact you went out and got the shopping list for Dad on my behalf and you got it perfectly and Dad goes, this is brilliant. And I said, actually, I can't take credit. Tom bought that.
Do you think when he wrote straw dot berries, was that a typing mistake or did he mean something else?
No, it's very written with military precision.
Right.
A bit like you. Yeah. Anyway, there we go. That's the note of love.
That's the note. The note of love.
We love your emails here at the Elliot Exchange. So send any questions or issues, conundrums. We won't solve them, but we're happy to discuss them. And the email is elliotexchange@nine.com.au. And we have an email from Kirsty. And she says, hi, Elise and Tom. My husband has a tendency to buy things for the kids so he can play with the toys too. At first I thought it was sweet, but now I'm thinking he's just buying these things for himself and using the kids as an excuse. Not sure if I need to speak up or enjoy the fact that he's spending time with the children. For example, you can buy electric go-karts. He mentioned to me that he thinks it would be great for our 12-year-old son. But I am sus. Should I say something or let it go?
Well, Kirsty, you are right to be sus. But you need to understand that most men are just about 14 years old, but they're older. But their mindset hasn't really changed.
So arrested development.
Well, I wouldn't say it's arrested. It's just that's when the male mind stops. Now, I used to have a friend but he once bought his wife, they're separated now, he bought her a surfboard. Now, she had never surfed and had no intention of surfing. And the day he gave it to her, he took it out for a surf. And it was quite clear that his present to her was really a present to himself.
Yeah, right.
And she got a bit upset at this, which might account for the fact that the relationship is no longer together. And hello, Alistair, if you're listening. So it's not unusual for men to do this. Mm. But as long as the kids are enjoying the toys too, like it reminds you of the Tom Hanks movie Big, where the little boy wakes up, he wants to be big and he wakes up in an adult's body.
I know I don't look like myself, okay? But something really strange happened and I'm really scared and I need you to help me, my best friend. I can prove it to you.
But then he becomes a professional toy tester for a toy company. And it works really well.
We're talking toys. Now, you are guilty of this. So, Kirsty, you're not alone here. Tom bought an ergo machine, which is basically a stationary bike for rowers, inverted commas, for our daughter to practice over summer. And you have been on that machine. You lock yourself in the garage doing God knows what down there.
Yeah, but look at the results.
Including that ergo machine, that was for no one else but yourself, but you presented it as this amazing gift to our daughter. Now, I don't know a 14-year-old girl who wants an ergo machine, but I know a lot of 50-plus men who do. So, Kirsty, look, I think it's just a common frustration, and I think just be thankful he's thinking of the kids, even in a loose kind of way.
It's only words.
Now, I'm thinking of a new segment for our podcast, and it's Hip Teen Words, because teen speak is just a whole separate language.
But isn't there a problem that if we start talking like teenagers, teenagers will change the way they talk? Because if mum and dad are doing it, like there was quite a few surfwear brands years ago that used to be popular, like Rip Curl and Billabong, but the problem was kids didn't want to wear them because their dads were wearing them, and that made it quite dorky. Yeah. Anyway, so what?
They lose their currency. And just on that note, our producer, Richard. Hi, Richard. We have taught him some hip words that he then used on Christmas Day, and his nieces and nephews thought he was so cool, and they said, "Where'd you get the cool lexicon from?" He's like a couple of old dudes I work with.
I've heard different accounts of Richard's Christmas Day. And it's more like his wife says, "Now, look, just humour Uncle Richard. He thinks he's funny. Mm-mm. If he says something, just laugh a bit and that will make him happy."
All right. So I've got three new words for all the oldies out there. And I just want everyone listening to slip them in to everyday language and just see what sort of reaction you get.
Righto. Word from one.
Gyat.
Gyat.
G-Y-A-T. And it means hot bum. Like
what?
Sexy ass.
Why?
I think it comes from get down.
Get down,
get down.
Right.
Right? Get down.
Do I have one of those?
No.
Why? Or why not?
Because you have a skinny white one.
That's all right. You've got quite a good bum, can I say that?
Yes,
it's
I
a bit
have.
Late now.
I've got a get. So get doesn't just mean bum, it means good one.
And a boy or a girl can have one?
Yeah.
Right.
Sort of pert.
Right.
You know, peachy.
Like a couple of bowling balls in a bag.
You got it.
Right.
So that's number one. The other one is to mog or get mogged.
Right.
And that's when you're getting your photo taken. And someone not only sort of photobombs it, but they photobomb it, but they're much better looking than you. So they kind of eclipse you. It's kind of what happens when I get into a photo with you and you're looking hot and then I come in and lower the tone.
Yeah, I think that works the other way.
So,
but there's something to this because one of the young ladies in our newsroom was bemoaning the fact a while ago that she was single.
Yeah.
And I said, well, let's have a look at your Facebook page. And she had her with in a photo as her main photo with a very attractive friend. Now, I said, ditch that photo because men will contact you. And I say, oh, are you the brunette? Oh, no, I'm the blonde one. Oh, could you give me the brunette's phone number? Like, you know.
Correct.
And at a wedding recently, she was a bridesmaid and the other bridesmaid was also very attractive. I said, don't put those photos up.
Right. So you're right across getting
so,
mogged.
So that's mogged.
Yeah. So when, you know, someone gets in the photo is much hotter than you. So you just need to elbow them out of the way.
Yeah. This is my photo.
This is my photo.
Stay away.
For people who work in radio.
All right. So if you don't want to be mogged, don't have a friend who's got a Gyat.
Yeah. But
see?
Can you just say it like you're not speaking a fourth language?
Well, I just want to try to make sure I understand what's
just
going on.
You need to roll off the tongue a little bit.
What's word number three?
Last year we discussed the word fax, F-A-X, but it means F-A-C-T-S when it's the truth.
Oh.
But then
as opposed to sending a fax.
Yeah, but I looked there. Oh, there'll be some etymology behind it, I'm sure.
Right.
No cap means no, you know, no crap. Like facts, no cap means like it's the truth.
So if I say, so what is it? You say facts, no cap, I'm telling you the truth.
You sound like a rapper. You're really turning me on.
Look, I know that slang and like rhyming slang as an example was actually designed to stop other people understanding what you were saying.
Yeah, yeah.
And in this, they the young people, quote unquote, have succeeded.
Yeah.
Facts, no crap.
Cap.
I'm telling the truth.
Oh, my God.
Right.
Okay, there you go.
No wonder the younger generation's in so much trouble these days. Now, Elise, you and I have been invited to the tennis, which for our overseas listeners is the Australian Open, one of the world's four Grand Slam tournaments. It's right here in Melbourne, its spiritual home. And we're going, and it's very interesting this year, there is arguably more attention being paid to what they call the TWAGs, the tennis wives and girlfriends.
Oh.
Now, interestingly, the female players, no one cares if they have a male partner. But obviously they are focusing on the female partners of the male players. Mm-hmm. And you know, like there's one, oh, she's the girlfriend of one of the American players. I've forgotten his name. I can't think of her name either. But she's very attractive. She's blonde. You know, she's trying Vegemite and saying it tastes disgusting. And, you know, there's more photos of her in the paper than there are people actually hitting a tennis ball.
Yes.
And it makes me think, you know, is the tennis like the new races? Like the horse racing is not very fashionable anymore because they hit the horses to make them run faster. And so is tennis the new place just to go and be seen? And are we guilty of partaking?
Yes and yes.
Right.
So it really has become the place to be seen. And it's incredibly fun. And you're right, it's not just about the tennis. There's all these other events around it. There's a lot of marquees and sponsored tents there as well now. You've got to wear the right gear apparently.
So what do you wear? You wear a sort of, you don't wear a tennis outfit, but you wear an outfit that looks like
sort of,
it's a bit tennis-y.
An homage to
right.
tennis.
So you wear like a polo like a little, shirt.
Yeah.
Or, and you know, white little, runners.
Like white runners, brand
white
new.
White socks.
White socks possibly, a little flippy skirt.
Tight shorts.
Yeah. Good spray tan.
A headband.
On you. How about wristband? No, too much?
Too much. See, I'll be honest, even though we've been invited, I don't really like the tennis.
Oh, could you not bloody say that? We've been invited, Tom. You've got to be gracious.
Oh. Well, I would like grunting band and shrieking when they hit the ball.
Yeah, it's a weird one, isn't it?
It is. So here's the thing.
Mm.
You know, they're obsessed about quiet, please, ladies and gentlemen, be quiet. You know, so-and-so is serving, you know. And so silence is important to the players when it's the crowd, but for their opponents, they can go, and then, if they're female, every time they hit the ball. I find that quite off-putting.
Hang on, how does it go?
over and over and over again. Now, either silence is important, in which case the players will be silent, or it's not important, and then we can behave as though we do at the football and yell and scream and try and put people off their game.
I wonder if it's a psychological tool used by players to really throw their opponents.
Oh, absolutely.
Because I have this weird, as you know, noise annoys me.
Noise annoys you?
Yeah,
right.
Really. Like,
and well, all noises or just my voice?
Snoring, stuff. Yeah.
Those noises.
Yeah, that.
Now, what about last night?
What are you saying about 14-year-old boys?
That's what they are. As in 56-year-old men are 14-year-old boys
Correct.
Trapped in a body they wish they didn't
Correct.
Have anymore.
Correct.
There was a protester at the tennis. Somehow managed to get onto one of the main courts, to Margaret Court Arena, the Margaret Court, as you might call it, and managed to throw about 50 pro-Palestinian leaflets onto the court surface.
Oh, that's extraordinary.
And what is interesting is the security guards did nothing. And in fact, it was members of the public, fellow spectators, who grabbed the protester and removed her from the playing arena.
Kind of like a citizen's arrest kind of thing.
Exactly, exactly right. And so what I'm thinking, actually, I'm sort of hoping when we go to the tennis that a similar thing happens and I have carte blanche to leap over and grab someone and knock them to the ground and then carry them off, you know, and out and give them up to the police.
And I can be. it's not about you all the time.
No, but I'm just saying, if I'm going to go to the tennis, which is not really my thing, that's something I would like to do, which I would enjoy.
Okay.
There's another thing I don't like about professional tennis players, when they lecture us. Now, one of the Eastern European women, which covers about 98% of tennis players, she said that there was too much plastic at the Australian Open. She questioned the Open's commitment to environmental sustainability. This is someone who flies around the world in a private jet to play a sport, you know, which makes her one of the biggest carbon emitters on the planet. And she worries about plastic packaging at the Australian Open. I don't like that either.
Okay. Is there anything you do like before I invite someone else instead of you?
I like the white socks.
Okay.
Now, Elise, one of the greatest Australian tennis players of all time was Leighton Hewitt. And when he was young, he was called Little Leighton Hewitt. But now there's another Little Leighton Hewitt. It's his 15-year-old son, Cruz, spelt the Spanish way, C-R-U-Z, as opposed to C-R-U-I-S-E, which actually would be quite interesting. And Cruz, his son, is playing in the Australian Open boys tournament, which does make us think about, like, is it a good idea if your children follow your career?
Well, you're a bit of a dictator when it comes to, like, footy, rowing and surfing with our daughter, and I'm far more relaxed like that. For example, this morning I actually went out surfing. I did a little sunrise surf, took our daughter.
And I was not there and I didn't dictate that you should do it. You just got up and did it yourself.
Right? But she wanted to surf on a shortboard, which wasn't really the right board for the particular wave. Now, you would ordinarily go, no, you won't catch waves. You need to be on a longboard. You need to do it this way. And I'm like, whatever, kiddo. The fact you're out at 6 a.m. on the waves, mucking around, makes me happy. But I think you live a little vicariously through her.
Well, no, it's not vicarious because I've done it all, you see. So I don't need her to do it. I'm just trying to guide her towards the correct path in life.
Which is the definition.
No, I think living vicariously is when you take special joy, and it's usually men who failed at something themselves.
That's sort of implicit, isn't it? But really, you would like her to be a budding rower like yourself, perhaps football player.
She chose all those sports purely by herself.
Right. So, look, I think it can be fraught. It can be fraught because will you ever live up to parental expectations?
Yeah. We have it in our family. Like, my uncle is a doctor and his eldest son is a doctor. In fact, he wanted to make another one of his sons a doctor. He's got three sons and a daughter. And the second son, who was in med school, said he didn't like it. And he asked me what he should do. And I said, I think you should become a financial planner. And he did.
There you go. Listen to you. Did you listen to your dad when it came to sport? He wanted you to play more ball sports.
He wanted cricket.
He wanted cricket.
So Dad would sit there with a hard cricket ball. Mm. And again, for people overseas who haven't played cricket, the ball is like rock hard. Mm. And he'd throw it at me when I was young. And it would hit me on the head if I didn't catch it. And quite often I didn't catch it, which might account for a few things now. And there was another time when...
This explains so much.
Well, how about this? So there was another time I became obsessed briefly with soccer, or as some people call it, football. Mm. And, we used to watch the match of the day from the English First Division and all that sort of thing. Anyway, I joined a local soccer club and I had to tell – Mum said I had to admit to Dad that I had done this. And he was horrified. And he staged an intervention where my grandfather and two of my uncles sort of said, soccer's a good game, Tom, but of course we play football and soccer's really a game for migrants, so you don't need to play that. And it got to me, and after about a year of this constant bombardment, I gave up playing soccer and started playing Australian rules football again. So I eventually gave in to my father's pressure. Of course, footy being Aussie rules is a better game.
Tom, you have learnt quite a lot this week, in particular on the teen word front.
Indeed. I mean, I had no idea, and I still don't really understand why, but I thought I had a giat, which is a nice bum, but you say it's too skinny, which is not a bad thing, and a bit too white. But what's the other one? Facts go cap.
Facts no cap. That's even funny.
Right. But the teen word that still stumps me, or phrase, is facts go cap.
No cap.
Facts no
cap.
Can
you not say it like you're like reading entirely foreign language.
I don't understand it. Facts, no cap, is something I've learnt today.
You have so lowered the tone of these team words.
I'm going to say it on radio tomorrow. Yeah. Facts, no cap.
Just say, that's facts, no cap.
That's facts, no cap. Does anybody understand what I'm saying? No.
Every teen will ring up and go, yes.
What have you learnt today, Elise?
That you're not great at ball sports, but you are good at wearing Hawaiian shirts, and I wouldn't change either of those things about you. Tap the follow or subscribe button on the Elliott Exchange wherever you get your podcasts. And it'd be great if you rate it. You just put like a little number of stars in there. You can review it or share it with your friends and family. Say, hey, check this out. I think we're on YouTube now, are we? Scary. Richard says we are on YouTube.
And of course, don't hesitate to send us an email anytime, any issue. Just get on the computer, Elliott Exchange at 9.com.au.
Facts, no cap.